We're so excited that you're tuned in to Cultivating Hearts. We're in the studio with Grant and Emily and Christina and Miss Tara and myself, Sandy. And oh my goodness, we love Philippians.
It is so good.
And we've just had such a great time discussing it and talking about the light and how darkness and how the light just makes everything come clear for it. So we are going to go on in Philippians 2, and we're going to go to 19 through 24, we think.
We're gonna put them all together. And so last time we ended with the challenge that Paul was giving, that they were to hold firmly to the Word of God. And so we were discussing the fact that we have to get in the Word. We need to read the Word. We cannot give what we do not have. And I remember I was at seminary, and I don't know who gave me the challenge or where I heard it. It was probably in a seminary class, and I'm in with all these like smart, scholarly Christians that had been born in the church and knew everything, and here I came from a non-Christian background, and really it was almost like I was getting Jesus intravenously or something. And somebody said, you need to read through your Bible. And I picked up the chronological Bible, and because that one goes in order of time, not book, chapter, and verse, and it made it so much easier to understand why things were set up the way they were set up. And read through that, and it was just transformational. And so want to encourage, you know, want to continue that thought of Paul telling the people of Philippi, you need to hold firmly to the Word of God. He ends up, I want to summarize, talking about himself and how he is poured out as a drink offering, that what he is doing will not be in vain if the people of Philippi are doing what they're supposed to do and shining like the stars in the universe and everything. And Paul just encourages them to just keep on pursuing the things of God. And he wants them to rejoice because he's rejoicing. And so that even if he was martyred, it's okay because he's rejoicing because they are the letters that have been written. You know, him pouring out into them, allowing them to pour out, makes it worth it. So what he does now is he begins to give us an example of what he's doing with Timothy, his co-laborer, and this is where Grant's going to come in and pick up. Would you read for us the Philippians 2, 19 through 24?
Okay. 2, 19 through 24. Okay. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon.
Mm. Okay, so he's given them the challenge of what he wants them to be. He tells them to be like Christ. He gives them the things that he wants them to have in them. He shows them what he is like in Christ. And now he is talking to them about Timothy, his co-laborer. And 1 Thessalonians 2:19 through 20, it says, "For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and our joy." What he is wanting them to understand is that you are my hope. You are my joy. You are my crown. And right here, I have Timothy. Timothy is my number one guy. And I have never met anyone that's going to love on you the way Timothy's going to love on you. Whereas others may not have a genuine interest, Timothy is genuinely interested in you. Timothy's my guy that if I say, Timothy, would you do this? I can trust that Timothy's going to do exactly what I've asked him to do. And he'll do above and beyond because that's Timothy. He cares. And he goes even further in that because he's as like a father to a son. Literally, Timothy's dad is gone. We know that because of what he says in the Timothy letters. And so he's like the father figure to Timothy. And he is sending him to them to give word so that he can bring back the mutual message. First question I want to ask us on this is, who in your life is that person that, one, you've been trained under where you feel like you were their Timothy, and then who in your life do you have that is a Timothy to you? Because if we're truly walking as we should and growing as we should have both at all times. And if we don't, then we need to say, okay, God, I need to grow in this. So when I see a season of one of my Timothys has time for me to like push out of the nest and say, okay, you need to move on, there's still my heart in that, but sometimes it's time for them to move on. And I start praying, who's going to be my next Timothy? You got to be processing that. All right, my life, I'll give some examples. When I started to go to seminary, when I was applying to seminary, I was at Houston's First Baptist in Houston, Texas. And I was a teacher at the University of Houston at the time, and Greg and I had calculated out I was going to have to keep working in order to pay for seminary, but I only needed to make $500 a month in order for us to manage it. So I was going to substitute teach. We were providing our own solution. And we were thinking that was the answer. And I wasn't getting phone calls to be the sub, but Houston's First Baptist called, and they said, we believe in what God's doing in your life and sending you to seminary, and so we want to offer you a staff position to serve as a preschool coordinator under Marion James, but we apologize, it's only for $500 a month. It's really funny how God works. And I had no idea what God was doing, but Marion James became my Paul. She is the person that taught me literally how to dress. I can't even tell you how presence is powerful. So many little like sniglets of things that I say, it's because she is the person that walked me through that. You know, she's in her 60s, and so 20-something years younger, and just I was the person she invested in. And so she's my Paul. I'm going to see her in September. I'm excited. She's my Paul. That's it. I have currently, obviously, my children are my Timothys, but outside my family unit, because I want them to have a Paul beyond me and Greg. And so I need Timothys beyond as well. I have Catherine Saeed, and she is my Timothy, and that she was told by her church leader, when you get to Grace University, you find Tara and you hook to her hip and don't leave until you graduate.
That's right.
And she came up to me and she goes, hi, my name's Catherine. I was told to hook to your hip by Femi Awadeli. Here I am. I'm to be your disciple. I'm like, you really want me to disciple you? And she said, yes. And I go, then you go where I go and do what I do. And she's like, okay. And literally, she's done that for 3 years. She's on her fourth year. And I'm going to grieve her leaving because we have had so much fun. And we need to have that Paul and Timothy going in our lives. So what about you guys? Did you come up with who's in your life? And if you don't, it's okay, because it's not a bad thing. If it's the first time you've heard that concept, now you need to pray and ask for it.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts?
I think for me, like, I'd have to say beyond my family unit, I don't think I have that. So that would be something to do. Like right. My mom and my little sister would be like inside my family, but
okay,
yeah.
All right, so you need to ask God for a Paul, a female figure that could represent somebody that mentors and disciples you, and somebody that He wants you to mentor and disciple with what He's growing you in.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I definitely feel like my mom has always been my been my Paul. So definitely just pray that. Yeah, I'll find someone else.
Yeah, it's a good thing to ask. I've prayed for Michaela and Grant to have those connections. Michaela used to cry in Sunday school when she was little, because she only wanted mom. And I would stand outside the door crying as well. As she cried inside, I was outside crying, but I was praying that the Lord would allow her to meet godly women that she would grow attached to so that she could grow in Christ in ways that I couldn't teach her. Okay.
Well, like you said, you know, like, you and my dad are, like, Pauls to me. But then also, like, one thing I think I could work on is, you know, like, having, like, sort of a specific Paul, you know, because I feel like I've got sort of, like, you know, bits and pieces from different people that are, like, Pauls in certain areas. Like, you know, like, my small group leader or, like, our youth leader and just people like that in my life. I don't think it's, like, anyone, like, specific. But, yeah, it would be nice to have, you know, like, a very specific person that's, like,
That's good. And a specific person is good. So asking for it. And I can also agree that I have different people that represented different aspects in my life that grew me.
That's what I was just thinking.
Different people have different giftings. So Mary and Jane's was my Paul, like ministry-wise, but Maureen Dopkins was my Paul teaching me how to pray. And Beth Moore was the teacher at my church. And even though I knew her and she knew me because I sat under her and served on staff and making sure that her ministry was taken care of, I watched and learned how to do women's ministry, you know, through her. And so I learned different things from different people.
Yeah, you do have many calls sometimes, you know.
All right, how about you, Sandy?
Well, as I was just thinking about that, I had to think back a long ways. My mother-in-law was definitely my Paul, you know, and my one of my friends at Valentine that actually introduced me to Christ was my Paul. And then, of course, Tara has been a Paul to me. You know, she's brought me alongside of her in ministry and just taught me so much, even though she could be my daughter. And I've watched her grow. I'm a proud mommy. I've watched her grow so much. And then my Timothy would be some ladies in my fellowship group, you know, that I have at my house, and my grandchildren, of course.
That's so good. That's funny, because I feel like you're one of my Pauls. That's funny.
Well, I like to hear that. That's good, because I was thinking to myself, I wonder if I'm a Paul.
No, you are.
Thank you.
You are. Your gift of hospitality is...
Different gifts. Yeah. You learn from... Well, you know, if you really sit down and wrote it down and thought of people come into your life, you would be surprised how many people you have.
Yeah, just hearing you guys, I thought of one that I think is pretty close to one for me.
Okay, but, who's that?
Mrs. Connolly, one of our friend's moms. She, I don't know, I really love her, and she, like, she also helps me in, like, she's from Mexico, and I love everything international, especially Spanish. Like, not only, like, encourage me, like, with my walk with Christ, but, like, I was, like, figuring out, like, what I want to do with my life and stuff like that, like, I think, yeah, she, like, represents, like, that side of my life.
That's awesome.
Yeah. You'll go home tonight, too, and you'll be thinking of other people.
It'll be fun to see what God reveals.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I wrote out some things that I recognize that he says about Timothy. In his description, in this little 19 through 24, so what is that, five verses? Can I count? listen to all these words that I came up with that describe Timothy by me reading this. He's faithful. He's trusted. He speaks or reports for Paul, so he's a messenger. He has a genuine interest in people's well-being. He ministered. He did not seek his own ambition. He did not seek personal success. He sought to meet the church need. He models for us how to live in Christ. He had Christ's interest. He was humble. He was self-giving. He was a bright star and a living testimony. And like just looking at him and the things that I could write out, I was just like, wow.
That's a lot. You know, David Jeremiah, I have his study Bible, and he said in his that Timothy was mentioned 24 times in his letters. And then he listed like how Paul thought of Timothy as, and I wrote him down, his fellow worker, his beloved, his faithful son, his beloved son. You know, and just a reminder that Timothy is always living for Christ. And I love that, you know, that he wasn't just a fellow worker. He was all of these things.
I know, it's so beautiful. Faithful laborers, I think a word used in this one, depending on your translation.
And I think another one is like warrior. I think I read that somewhere too, that we can be all these things, but we're still like warriors.
Completely. So going back when we had talked about in the first recording for this particular section, we talked about culture. And so he says, I was thinking through culture. All right, Paul's saying these things of what we were to be. What are some things that right now in our culture, that our culture says that we should be as a person?
Like, our culture?
What does our culture say about us as people?
They say that we should get whatever we want. We can be selfish. We can be
Think of some slogans.
Oh, slogans. Okay.
Well, the first one that comes to mind is just do it.
Yeah.
It's the most famous one.
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess that shows that our society, like, wants us to, you know, be fearless in everything we do. But, like, it's not always good things. They want us to be fearless in.
And the commercials are always saying, you deserve it. You know, mm-hmm. you need this.
YOLO. You only live once. Yeah.
What's that one?
YOLO. Yeah, that's. I think that's a pretty.
I'm not familiar with that.
You only live once.
Yeah, it means you only live once.
Oh,
so.
Okay.
So it basically means it, do whatever you want to do and do it now because you might not be able to do it later, which. Yeah. Again,
it doesn't matter.
A good idea,
future.
But applied to things it shouldn't be
like
applied
to.
Like
a more intense version of carpe diem.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Hmm. And taken in the wrong context, that can be dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was writing out. I wrote, okay, some things that culture tells us we should do: have it your way, mm-hmm. your self-interest, protect yourself, forget about others, mm-hmm. Get what you need, get what you want, and if time permits, then you can help.
Yeah.
That's like
how
our
culture
does.
Put yourself first. Yeah.
But yet, here, Timothy's a genuine interest in their well-being. He ministered. He did not seek ambition. He did not seek his personal success. He sought to meet the needs of the church. Mm-hmm. He was a model. And so these things all are relevant into what we're looking at. The Holman New Testament commentary said, Paul still needed Timothy until he saw his fate. You know, as he says, I'm not sending him yet.
Mm-hmm.
I'll send him. But right now, Paul still needed him. Mm-hmm. And so Paul thought of the church's need and planned on sending Timothy to help, yet he kept Timothy for a while because of his personal needs. There's a fine line between total concentration on selfish matters and legitimate concerns for immediate needs. And so looking at the balance of how Paul kept Timothy to help him, but when it was necessary, he was going to send him on to help the need of the church because he knew that Timothy would be the one that would be willing to do that. And so asking myself, like, what can I learn from Timothy? What are some things that I think I might need to grow in? We have about a minute to go. So real quick, which one do you feel like you want to grow in out of all the things we listed about Timothy?
Just putting others before yourself, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Selflessness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I would agree with that.
Everybody's on that one.
Mm-hmm. I think humility too. Mm-hmm. You know, so that pride thing gets in the way too easy.
Just being able to like pour into other people without, you know, like any regard for yourself.
Or thinking what you get something back for it. Mm-hmm. It's for them, not for you. Yes.
Right. I think for me this time it was Paul actually saying, who will show genuine concern for your welfare?
Mm-hmm.
There's something so beautiful about someone who has genuine concern.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know, it's not something I don't think we see a whole lot of culturally, but within the Christian world, I'm always blown away by the beauty of the genuineness of the body of Christ and how the body of Christ takes care of one another. Mm-hmm. And so I just kinda,
unity.
The basking in the genuineness of just caring for others. Well, we're glad you're listening. Come back next week, and we're going to talk about Epaphroditus.